Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. Disclaimer. It's important to note that neither I nor anyone involved in this podcast is a licensed therapist or mental health professional, unless otherwise stated. While we are dedicated to providing support, guidance, and a platform for discussing personal experiences and spiritual journeys, our content should not be considered a substitute for professional therapy or counseling. If you're experiencing mental health challenges or emotional distress, we strongly encourage you to seek the guidance of a qualified therapist or mental health practitioner who can provide tailored support and care based on your specific needs. Remember, your well-being is of the utmost importance, and there are trained professionals available to assist you on your healing journey. Welcome back to the Intuitive Revolution Podcast. Today, I had the privilege of sitting down with Shane Ali and learning about his journey. From the depths of addiction, Shane Ali's journey is a testament to the magic of natural plant medicines and proper integration. Amidst struggle, he discovered new renewal through unwavering determination and the transformative embrace of plant allies. Guided by various mentors of different traditions, Shane offered a conduit for a higher power, providing divine experiences with a human touch, marked by reverence, respect, and an unwavering commitment to safety. Mount Chimay retreats are a powerful blend of healing and joy, where the jungle comes to life, creating an atmosphere for profound human transformation. Beyond rituals, his mission extends to coaching and integration sessions, fostering personal accountability and empowering others on their unique path to growth and fulfillment. Shane's spirit of gratitude and commitment to service is deeply personal. His journey, marked by overcoming life's adversities, stands as an inspiring beacon for those seeking healing and self-discovery. Excitingly, Shane is currently writing a book titled Hope After Dope, My Journey with Addiction, Ayahuasca, and God, offering a deep exploration of his transformative odyssey. I'm so excited to be talking to Shane Ali today. We're going to get some wisdom from him on herb medicine or plant medicine. We're going to get some wisdom on his experiences too. So could you share with us the pivotal moment in your journey that you realized that plant medicines were a key to your transformation?
Yes. Okay. So, and the first one is different from what I normally talk about, but the first one is actually Ibogaine. So in one of my many attempts, I was a heroin addict for 20 plus years, and that was something. In one of my many attempts to kick, I went to Costa Rica and partook in an Ibogaine ceremony. And anybody who's familiar knows Iboga is an extremely powerful entheogen, hallucinogen, call it what you will, plant medicine gift from God that comes from West Africa. And this medicine, I had been told, could break the sort of physical aspects of the addiction of opiates, because so much of it is physical, even though the deeper levels are psychological and emotional. So I went there. I was actually gifted the trip by a beautiful couple. I went there and had this profound experience that I won't get into now. And the medicine did work. And so for 10 days that I, you know, 7 or 8 days after I had my ceremony when I was in Costa Rica, I had a window into clarity that I had not had before. And even though it didn't last, I came back, I relapsed nearly immediately. There were these days where, like, I remembered, wait, there is something different here. Remembrance of what it was. And so that was the first biggest one. And again, I was not prepared fully. The medicine did its thing. I did not. That's an important lesson in everything I do when I talk to people too. And then the second one was having come off 5 milligrams of methadone about 4 weeks out, body still in shambles and trying to figure out what's going on with all this stuff. And I sat with ayahuasca for the first time and just game over, you know, just game over.
Yeah. I talk to people who are scared of that. And then there's people who are like all about that. What are your thoughts scared of doing ayahuasca? What are your thoughts on that? And how can you guide people if they're ready for that?
Yeah. Be afraid, be very afraid. You know, I mean, it's not a joke. And, you know, sometimes people think that they want some sort of spiritual enlightenment, some sort of kundalini awakening. But I tell you, be careful what you wish for, because it is not a unicorn ride over a rainbow. And if you're coming to work with this medicine, she is going to give you all of her and therefore all of you, and all of you are not pretty. And you're going to have to look deep in there. And this is an uncomfortable process. And there is lots of love and light and joy along the way. because you start to find those gifts more in life. But be yeah, I mean, a fearful, respectful fear of this medicine is appropriate. I mean, every single time. And then, you know, and then get ready to go to work.
Yeah, that's profound right there. Good information from someone who's been through the process on looking, I guess, spiritual and on top of looking for healing from your addiction going through it. So, yeah. So, in your experience, how do these sacred plant medicines facilitate a deeper understanding of oneself and the world around us?
Well, this is the key, I think, because it's connecting us back to our truer selves, our higher selves. And so that's, you know, we're so much greater than what we think we are. And when you remember, when you can have a moment to realize that and to touch that and really feel it for a moment, to realize that there's so much more than, you know, it's a remembrance. It's a connecting with your higher self, with God, with your source of divinity, call it what you will. And I say these medicines are non-denominational, but multi-dimensional, you know, whatever works for you. But these medicines really connect people back to themselves and their source of divinity. And that's a beautiful place to be, if only for a minute. But then again, integration is trying to hold on to that in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, so what are some tips for people after they've gone through this process to be able to hold on to those, onto what they have learned and they experienced, to keep that, I guess it would almost be the same vibration going on.
This is where the work begins. You know, this is where we get to work. And that takes discipline, and it takes, you know, actions, and it takes uncomfortable changes. And the main thing is the meditation. I mean, just whether you've done plant medicine or not, you know, I mean, every day, you know, sit down at some point and close your eyes and just listen to your breath. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. And there are thousands of videos all over the place. But just
Yeah.
make yourself do it every single day. I mean, it's not even that hard. We doom scroll for hours and we watch all the series on Netflix. And some of it's good information and some of it's just garbage. You know, we have to spend time parsing through that. But just for 10 fucking minutes, sit down, close your eyes, follow your breath.
Breathe. That's a big thing.
Just breathe. Yeah, there's the monkey thoughts are going to come, you know, and then you just come back to your breath. That's why the breath is so important in these practices, because it's always there. It's always with you. It's your anchor. So when the brain starts to go, the bills and the this and the that and the da, 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 just.
I always tell my clients, like, think the thought and let it go. It's always going to be there when you return. You're not going to solve it in meditation. Just keep going and following your breath. So I love that you brought that up, the monkey mind.
Yeah, and I think for me, at least personally, a big part of my practice that first 10 or 15 minutes is having all the thoughts and all the feelings and being like, I am anxious about this, or I am sad about this, or I am excited about this. And it's like, that's the time to truly sit with it. We hear that phrase so much.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you do it and you allow yourself to feel the things and you go, oh, my shoulder's a little sore today. And you just feel it. But then after you go through that, then you truly can let it go because you've acknowledged it. But just saying like, oh, it's there, like, you know, just let it be. And then after you've processed those thoughts a bit, then perhaps you could slide into a place of joyful bliss where you just feel very connected with everything and all that. But you just have to start somewhere, because it's not going to just happen the first time you do it if you've never meditated before.
Right.
But if you want it bad enough, if you prioritize your own healing in your life and you say, you know what, I can sit down for 10 minutes every day, just start there and make it your own.
It almost becomes an addiction when you start getting to that meditative state. Like I, that's my favorite. I love meditation's my jam. So you're speaking to me. Like if I don't have meditate at least 15 minutes and 10, 15 minutes in the morning, the whole day's just like shot. But I crave and I look forward to that time. Particularly in the mornings work well for me. To really sit with myself. The thoughts come in, of course, but it's, I learned so much about myself in those times. It's,
That is sitting with yourself. Yeah. And you know,
yeah.
and these thoughts and these feelings and emotions we have, they're going to be with us. So it's just really up to us. Are we going to sit and process them? For I also do mine in the morning. I use one hit of legally prescribed cannabis, and I use some rapé or tobacco snuff. But yeah, I just allow myself to really, really just sit there with that stuff for just a little bit every day, so that when I go out into the real world afterwards, they're not nagging at me. I'm like, okay, I've seen you before. I know what this is. We're going to do this later. So it's practicing, it's building mental muscles. And that redirection practice and coming back to your breath is so important when you go out into the world as well, because the world is happening all around us and to us and for us. God, thank God, But
Yes.
when things arise, it's that morning practice that we have in that real moment later on in the day goes, okay, come back to breath. And you can, in real time, begin to mitigate some of that fear and suffering that we all, love so much, but if you prioritize, it can help you in your day-to-day life. There's real practical benefits to this.
Yeah, you used to look forward. I'm not to the fear and suffering, but you look forward to getting to know yourself better in the ways that, I don't know, people think I'm crazy. I'm like, oh wow, that's really going on with me. I don't fear it anymore. I don't push it out. It's like I embrace it. I'm like, so what's the next layer that's coming off? How am I going to grow now? And so once you hit that point, I think meditation, personally for me, was the biggest thing that got me to that acceptance of myself.
Yeah, you find out what an interesting person you really are just sitting there with yourself and allowing yourself to be okay with all the thoughts. And well, this is finding yourself. This is why all the greats throughout history have practiced these beautiful tools. They're time tested, they're well proven. Make no mistake about it. Again, it's just up to each individual to sort of say, like, what am I going to do this or not? Do I care that much or not? And people, when they reach out to me and I'll say, start your daily meditative practice, and we'll talk 2 weeks later, and I'll say, how's the meditation going? And it's, oh, I just, and I go, look, man, my life's going to be the same whether you're doing your thing or not. We need more people to be individually doing their own thing, because that's how we raise the whole thing, but still, so it's just incumbent upon each person to walk their path if they want to, and they don't have to, and that's fine too. Everybody's got their roles to play in this beautiful cosmos, this cosmic slop. So,
Not their time
but
yet.
people who, but people who are listening, who want to know, who are open to it, that the tools are out here. Let's go.
Oh yeah, and it's really cool. It's like we live in such an age that we can find any information we want. There's multiple tools. I mean, especially the AI coming on now, it's like it's just amazing the things that like there's no excuses. For
Yeah,
if you
people.
want to learn something, there's no excuses.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And people think like, oh, we're living in the worst times in humanity and it's all going downhill. And it's like, we're living in the best time in human history, period, like full stop. So if you can't appreciate this, if you can't learn to swim in this, if you don't want to figure it out, then you don't have to. But I'm enjoying this ride,
Yeah.
I
We
shouldn't
have.
be here. That's another reason. I think when people suffer through some
Yeah.
things, then they start to appreciate things, and the plant medicines help. So this is my own personal opinion, just from my own personal experience, but I know everybody's different, but I can only speak my truth.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So safety and respect are crucial in the work you do. Can you explain how you ensure a safe and respectful environment during your transformative ceremonies?
Yes, this is so important to me. I want to make sure that everybody feels protected and safe. And that's the number one job, really, of the medicine server. Obviously, the physical safe space to allow people to process and journey. That's quite obvious, or it should be. Perhaps it's not. It's obvious to me. It's one of my most important things of
Yeah.
physical safety. But also then sort of the energetic, emotional, psychological, and emotional safety of the participants over the course of the weekend and afterwards. During integration, for crying out loud. And one of the main reasons I feel this way is because I experienced it early on in my own journeys, just sitting with the medicine, where you would go and there's 40, 50, 60, plus some of these places are doing 80, 100 people in a ceremony. And to me, that's just like malpractice. And I know they have facilitators, but most of these facilitators are people who maybe sat with the medicine one time. They've never been properly facilitated for, let alone do they know what people might
Yeah.
need. And so one of the ways I mitigate that is I keep my ceremonies small. We cap out at about 15. I'm so grateful to have so many good people in my life that help when I need them. If it's a women's retreat, I make sure I have a female
Yeah.
facilitator, obviously, with the men's retreats. I got this. And the guys at the
Yeah.
men's retreats are all beasts. So we're in good shape. Love these men's retreats. So keeping the numbers small is one way. And again, going back to the psychological, mental, and emotional safety of it, the integration is so key, because if 12 people come to my ceremony, I know what every single individual has come there for, you know, and we can work intimately as a group when we get there. If there are 50 or 60 people there, and so I keep my ceremonies small, and then I do follow-ups, one-on-one follow-ups with people for integration afterwards. Because that's the real tough part when you come home from ceremony and, you know, you're just broken apart and you're wide open and everything is different and you don't know what to do with it. Now I've got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got to talk to my wife and kids, you know, and you might be just full of love and joy, but sometimes it's just so much and it's so overwhelming. And so the integration is key afterwards, and I make sure that it will remain. So yeah.
Yeah, that's outstanding that you do the post work of that. I don't think that's done enough for really any modality that people are using to heal with. It's you get given it, you're like, here, take this and run, but it's like, hope you survive.
and shame so, on all of us. Because this is what's going on, and shame on all of us, you know, for accepting it. But the people speaking don't know much better, and many times the people serving may not know or for whatever reason. But that's where the real work is done. I mean, that is where you have these medicines are going to reset. They're going to give you an opportunity. But then they're going to show you visions. Ayahuasca in particular will give you visions and lessons and gifts, just gold coming from source. And then what are you going to do, though? You know, and that's integration, putting these integrations, you know, the meditation, the diet, the exercise, the getting into nature, the doing the thing you love. Look, my path is not everybody's path. I like to make music. I like to be artistic in various ways. I like to whatever. Play video games with my daughter at night. Everybody's got their own thing, right? But they have to go and find it and go get it. And that means doing it. It goes back to the addiction thing. You said your meditation is almost like an addiction, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that, because while addiction is a strong word, addicts in particular, but really anybody who's making bad life choices, like stopping the one thing is not enough.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning. And when I got clean, I wanted my life to be normal and perfect. And it took me a while to figure out, wait, I've got to do this, don't I? You know? And then you have to start the new habits. But is it better to wait? I'm writing about this in the book right now. Is it better to wake up every morning and do a fix and get high in bed? Or is it better to get up and do some rape cannabis and have a 45-minute meditation? So,
yeah. That's what's ever bringing you closer to yourself, to higher source, and really connecting all that together. And it's, absolutely.
I know we started talking about safety. I know the original question was
about
safety.
No, this is what this podcast is about. It goes floats everywhere. We'll come back to it. And it's just like wherever it goes.
Safety is really important. I'm glad you asked the question.
Yeah. So you've studied under various esteemed medicine servers. What are some of the most valuable lessons you've learned from these mentors?
Well, when people like ask me about like my past experiences and stuff, I've sat with or facilitated for over a dozen medicine servers from various traditions. And yes, I've been to Peru and was sat with the Massis tribe there, and we brewed down there, and that was really cool. But I joke that I've learned from what I think are some of the best, but I've learned even more from some of the worst. And so, I think those have been some of the, because I feel like as far as some of the best goes, you either have a deep relationship with the medicine, you understand its purpose, you understand how it's meant to help people, and you can help facilitate that, or you don't. But as far as the worst goes, it's people who I think intend well, at least initially, but I've seen this medicine like crumble churches and people, and you know, they get involved for I don't know what reasons, you know, whether it be financial or egoic. And again, I think most people mean well. You know, they see the healing. Somebody has sat with this medicine before. They see the healing power of it. They want to do good in the world. So they want to be a part of this thing. But this thing is a beast. You know, this thing is powerful. This thing is not to be trifled with, you know. And so, again, everybody's role is kind of different. So then they might start out trying to do this thing, but it might be a very difficult path if it's not meant to be. But hopefully somewhere along the line, they will find out exactly where they're supposed to fit into the larger scheme and do it that way, if that made any sense.
Yeah, it totally did. And it's like you go down past, you're like, oh, this almost like the shiny butterflies or the shiny object. You're like, oh, this looks fun. Let me do this one. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna try this. I wanna try this and try that. But you finally figure out what you're in alignment with, what your purpose, I feel like, is for. And not every little modality is meant for you to grasp on and to heal other people.
Yeah, I agree. But and I sort of feel like intuitively with the medicine server, and you know, it's kind of too late at this point, but when you sit with somebody in the medicine, you know, you can you know, you can sort of get a better sense of that. So I was fortunate enough to travel around to different churches around the country and help facilitate for different medicine servers, and I've seen it all. And so what I've tried to do is sort of like, of all the traditions and all the ways I've seen it done and all the different ways people can have ceremony unfold, what I've tried to do personally for my ceremonies is take like the sort of what I think are the most effective parts, you know, the most efficient parts of all the different things, and sort of like do mine sort of like that way so that it's the best participants that are there. So I've kind of taken an amalgamation, but let me be super clear on this. This is done with reverence and respect. We do this ceremonially. We know we are going to work. We know these are going to be deep and over the course of the weekend, largely uncomfortable processes as people are wide open and conversations are being had and energies are flowing and we're all in this thing together down here. But you know, I don't take this medicine lightly. When I brew my own medicine, I sit with it alone before I serve it to anybody else, and oftentimes those are quite intense. But they keep me very humble and they keep me connected with the medicine. So I just want to be clear about all of that.
Yeah, those are awesome, amazing points there for sure. So, can you describe a particularly profound experience or breakthrough you witnessed in one of your ceremonies?
Next question. These are such a every time it's just mind blowing. You know, every time it's just so divine and so powerful. And I've seen the most ridiculous processes, you know, and I've seen like some that from the outside would look scary, you know, but I don't think I could put my finger on just like one specific one right now. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries at all. Maybe a better question is, have you seen someone who has had a profound transformation? Obviously, keep full disclosure, yeah, from the ceremonies, yeah.
Yeah, so I can give a beautiful example of this. I'll make it brief. So there's a woman, I think she was living in California. Her folks were in Seattle. They worried about her. She was using lots of drugs. She was using so much, she was very hard to get a hold of. But she had heard about it somehow. They didn't know much about it at all. And so I finally got a hold of the woman. I talked to her for months before ceremony. I told her folks, hey, there's a ceremony, a new one happening in California. I answered all the dad's questions and mom's questions and sister's question, you know, because they didn't know what they were getting into. They were like,
Yeah.
well, are we going to be able to come pick her up afterwards? You know, like they didn't know if they were getting her into a cult or what, you know. And I was like, no, like you should definitely be there with open arms to pick her up, you know. So I do this work leading up to, and I mean, she was deep in addiction. I mean, she was using meth and heroin multiple times
Yeah.
a day. And we got her out to California. I got out to California, and she had a very brutal weekend. I mean, just tough, you know, tough processes, all 2 or 3 nights, whatever. But she was clean for those days she was there. She obviously had some very profound downloads, if you will. Her father was there to pick her up. She was still very weak from the weekend from the medicine. He helped her to the car, got in the car. They drove off. They were driving back to Seattle from California. Nice road trip with dad. She started going to the gym. She started eating better. She got herself a job. She hasn't looked back since that weekend. Now, I know this is an extreme example, perhaps, but this is what is possible for people who want to put in the work in their own healing. And again, might not be addiction. It might be some other stuff. You know, there's countless dumb things that we can do to kill ourselves more quickly and to waste our time, you know.
Yeah.
But this is an example of what this medicine can do. It can really give you a profound insight and a bit of self-love. And I think oftentimes that's what many of us, especially addicts, are lacking, because we can love others so much, so greatly. We literally will give the shirt off our backs for strangers. But then when it comes to, like, just looking out for number one, it's very hard to do. And, you know, there's all sorts of reasons for that, aren't there? But so that insight that this medicine can give you, that, again, these are little remembrances, these are glimpses, these are opportunities for change. That self-love is huge. And I know it was key for my very first time with ayahuasca after coming off that methadone.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it really goes to show that if you, like you said, you take all the transformation that you went through in that weekend and you apply it and you do the follow-up work, your life will change. You just have to want it.
Patient. Yeah, you have to want it, and you have to execute, and, you know, and then you have to be patient and faithful. You know, I mean, this is where faith comes in. And I don't care whether you believe in a Christian God or Muslim God or whatever. I mean, you know, faith is huge. And this is what the secret that was a rage is about, you know, just fully believing, feeling 100% and not looking back. Much easier said than done. But, you know, when you start to make these changes, you have to be faithful, and, you know, and you have to make them. And I don't think any one huge drastic change is necessary. If you're looking to get out of a crisis in your life or to move past some barriers and boundaries, you don't have to make humongous changes. Just make little adjustments, start to be more aware and start to get up for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So in addition to plant medicine ceremonies, you offer coaching and integration sessions. How do these practices complement each other in someone's healing journey?
Yeah, as we spoke about before, this is the real work. This is key. You know, this is the new window. This is a new opportunity, but you've got to do it. And so the integration, you know, it's about accountability, you know? And so a lot of times people don't know where to start, so they don't know what to do, you know? So I'm giving you, here's six things that you can do. Okay, now I've given them to you. Now are you going to do them, you know?
Yeah.
So the integration is reminding people what their options are, what they could be doing instead of. And again, what I'm recommending might not work for everybody, but I know most of them are time tested and proven, you know, to work and use consistently. So the integration is key. Once again, I'll say that 6 million times.
Yeah. It's like learning to ride a bike or something. And if you don't continue to use that skill, you're not going to, I mean, what you do at one time, you don't continue to do the skill over and over again. You know, it's kind of wasted almost.
Yeah, you're not going to pick up the guitar and shred the first time.
Right.
You know, you've got to stumble through it and, you know, get some calluses on your fingers and get really frustrated a few times and, you know, and then. But
throw
then
the guitar around.
Throw the guitar around, you know, do what you got to do. But eventually, you know, if you're consistent, you know, you'll see benefits and payoff.
Yeah, that was a great example there. So your story is one of redemption renewal, which is profound. What advice would you give to someone who feels trapped in their struggles and they're searching for a path of healing?
First of all, I think if somebody is already searching for a path of healing, that I don't need to tell them anything, because they're already searching and they're going to get what they need. And for someone who's not searching, they don't even know that they're not searching.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss, right?
Yeah.
But I would also just say, like, just keep going, you know, like, just keep going. And spiritual journey is such a tough one for me. You know, it's like, this is life. You know, we can learn to cope with it the best way we know how, in the healthiest ways, or we don't. And I feel like so many times people in our spiritual communities are so worried about some higher ascension to the fifth dimension, and so worried about, and that's a beautiful place to consider, and it's a beautiful place to be occasionally, but this is the gift God gave us, and this is the opportunity he gave us, and this is where he has placed us.
Yeah.
And so now what are we going to do here? Are we going to constantly run and try to, or are we just going to, like, enjoy this ride? This is what it is. You came down here. Look, the universe is, I don't know, what are they, 14 billion years old. And you're here for 80 fucking years. What are you doing? Like, you'll get back there eventually. Like, bring it in. Bring it in. Do no harm. You know, I think the physical aspect of this gift gets lost a lot.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I don't think we're, especially when you hit this like enlightenment period of your life, you're like, oh, there's so much more things out there. You're like, you have to know everything and you have to be so much higher, but you're not enjoying the journey to it. And that's the whole purpose of why we're here, is to enjoy the journey to from point A to point B to C. And then finally, when we're done, we can go enjoy the fifth dimension and go back into that world that we came from, or that
See, the
whatever.
thing is, people only want to enjoy the enjoyable parts of their journey here on Earth.
Yes.
That's not what this whole thing is about. What
Right.
people, I mean, what is this black and white? What is this yin and yang? You know, what is this? It's the whole human experience. And the thing is, people only want to appreciate the part of the experience that feels good to them, but they have to learn to appreciate the part that doesn't feel good, because it's
Yeah.
still what they asked for. It's still while they're down here for a blink of an eye. So yeah, I think that's a interesting perspective to try to hold on to, but it's
Yeah.
fun to consider.
It is, and it's, I don't know, it, yeah. Once you understand that, it's like, oh, think life gets so much easier when you understand that you chose to come here and be in this life, and you chose these, you know. You just start to really appreciate it more, I believe. So yeah. So your mission is rooted in giving back and service. How do you see your work impacting not just individuals, but the broader community?
Yeah, great question. First of all, it's most important to me that every single day I impact me first. Because I feel like if I can't help anybody, you know, if I'm not helping myself, you know, and I'm always working on me. That's number one. And also, it helps me to help other people too, because I know, you know, sort of like what they're trying to navigate. Yeah, I'm sorry. What was the original question?
I guess it's more getting back to, you know, let's go into more talking about how you're helping yourself. And when you help yourself, you've raised your energy, like even looking like energetically wise, and it starts helping the community.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to wrap my head around sometimes, you know. And that's why I find it so important to work on myself, because I do think. I think changes are upon us. You know, I think things are changing, and I think it's a slow change. I don't think things happen as quickly as we would like them to. And so I feel, for me, I feel like I'm just trying to do my individual part to help manifest the positive, I hope, changes that I do believe are coming in
Oh yeah.
many ways, spiritual
Yeah.
and physically on the earth and
Yeah.
otherwise. I mean, a lot of people are doom and gloom, but I don't know if it's a Sagittarius in me or what, but I'm cautiously optimistic about our future. I feel good about the future. I know everybody's upset about all the things, but I can't.
We have to go through darkness to get to the light. And so I don't think it's the doom and gloom portion of it. It's all your perspective. It's all people's perspective. And so it's so refreshing to hear people who are like, the world's not coming to the end. It's actually going to get better. And you can almost feel the lightness, the light that's coming is being brought to this world. I know I personally can feel just the excitement of it all. So it's great to hear that from other people.
Yeah, and I mean, and I don't, you know, and that doesn't mean that like what we perceive as bad things aren't going to happen, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there's only so much I can do in my life. There's only so much I can focus on, and so much energy and time that I have. And so I'm choosing to focus on other things that are for personal development and can help those close to me, or those who are called to me or whatever, to share time on this earth together for a little bit. I'd rather focus on that and trust God to handle the rest of that, because wars are raging and things are happening that I wish weren't happening, but
Yeah.
I'm just me. I don't know what God's plan for any of this is. So you know what? Who am I to say that that shouldn't be going on? Does that make any sense?
Yes, and that's I love that. I love that. I love that you said that, because we try to control everything and we have all these opinions about stuff, but we only know probably 1%, and then we try to play God and tell out everybody else and everything should be, and nine I would say almost 10 times out of 10, our perspective is completely off
We
of
have
what's
no
going
idea.
on.
We have no idea.
And yeah. Some things are not for us to know.
That's the thing, man. And that's why a higher power is so important, because, yeah, it's just not for us to know. It's just not for us to know. But we have to trust that. I mean, it's happening just like this because it must be, or else it wouldn't be happening some other way. So just go, okay, here, and here we are still, and here I am 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 still.
That's the ultimate surrender, is when you can get to that place, and when you get to this surrendering, it's so many things open up for you. I don't know, that's my spill on that too. Thanks for sharing all that, for sure. Oh, speaking of, you mentioned the importance of personal accountability in the healing process. I know we've talked a little bit about that. Can you elaborate on, I guess, what happens if someone doesn't do that? What if they go to your ceremonies and they're just like, okay, cool. And they come out, like, it's almost like leaving Disney World, you know, you're all excited and stuff. And then you talk to your spouse, you, like you said, or just goes off the fan, goes completely, goes out. What advice would you have for those people?
Yeah.
Picking your brain today.
Yeah. Well, what advice? I mean, I would have the same advice that I would give them weeks and months before, the weekend of, and weeks after. Afterwards, like, okay, this is your opportunity. This is your chance. You know, go get it. Here you go. Are you going to waste this opportunity, or are you going to make the most of it? And so, you know, people will slide back, and maybe it takes repeated attempts. You know, but all I can do is give people the best tools and the best opportunities that I can, physically and energetically and time wise, to do the best they can. And at a certain point, if I know honestly in my integrity that I've done the best I can and I've really tried, and maybe I'm not perfect, you know, I've slipped up, but at a certain point I have to be like, okay, that's their path, and we did what we could do here, and at least now we're connected. If they come back, and I've got to let that person live their life and do their thing, you know? So, bring a horse to water, you know?
Yeah. It's like you have to release them kind of non-judgmentally.
Yeah.
So they come back.
Now, if I go, what could I have done differently? How could I have changed? How could I have helped them more? You know, I'm going to consider these things as well. But there is a certain point where that's their path.
Yeah. That's their path.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward, I like to ask this question. What are your aspirations for the future? What do you see this world, the spiritual world, I guess, is kind of an overuse. How do you see that in, like, holistic health and mental health, all that, really changing? What do you see the future for that? What do you see coming in the future for that?
Okay, well, thank God, you know, things are slowly changing. And so there's been a renaissance in psilocybin, ketamine, MDMA, because they are able to make it in labs and to accurately dose it, specific doses. And so they're doing studies at all sort of institutions and universities. So I'm super stoked about that. It's really important. I also think that it's going to take a long time. You know, the data has to come in. And I mean, already, like, the results are, well, what we knew they would freaking be, you know, I mean, but it just takes time. The machinery moves slowly most of the time, but we're headed obviously in the right direction, and I'm excited about that. You know, it's a shame, as we all know, most of us think that, you know, you could take a plant and make it illegal. It's a gift from God, you know, it's a tool he's given us here. And so to make some of these things illegal, and we know why they're doing it. It's big pharma, and it's you know, individuality and sovereignty and all that stuff. But I'm faithful in this area too. I think we just keep at it. We keep doing what we can do as individuals and groups, and keep at it. Yeah, you said something about community in there. Was there something more to that I missed?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of, you know, how do you see the positive? Like, I think you really kind of answered the question. You know, the positive changes that are coming. What do you see kind of the future for plant medicine?
Yeah. Well, that's my optimism starts to crumble a bit, because I'm pretty certain I'm pretty certain that is the very moment that the switch is ready to be flipped and they say, okay, we're good with this, that big pharma will already have structures in place to take this over, to monetize it, to abuse it, to take advantage of it.
Put it into a pill format.
So, you know, but the biggest part, and ayahuasca is much harder in this area because, you know, it's not as easy. You can't make it in a lab, you know, and so it's harder to dose. And so, but that to me is one of the biggest aspects of it, the spiritual aspect of it, the ceremonial, the connection with earth. That is part, a fundamental part of the experience and the process, as far as I'm concerned. So even if they could extract, and there's so much good stuff, by the way, in the two plants, in the chacruna and the capivine, you know, you couldn't just take one thing out because they know how to make DMT. You couldn't just take one thing out and be like, this is it. You know, it's the way God made it. That is right.
Yeah. It's almost like he knew the purpose behind it before.
Crazy, right?
Almost like he knew. He did know the purpose behind it. He's like, knew what, like, this is going to happen, so I'm going to make this where the people who need to get in the right hands of the people who are not, they're really trying to heal. So, all of that. Thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing all your wisdom. This has been an amazing conversation. This is why I love doing this podcast, because I learn so much and I get to have these higher level conversations with people. It's just amazing. So, you have any other final thoughts for listeners?
No, ma'am. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. It was fun.
So yeah, all your information, his information will be in the show notes. If you want to reach out, want to attend a ceremony, or interested in learning more about plant medicine, please reach out to Shane for that. Thanks again.